accordance with our common welfare and tradition 5, we respectfully ask that disruptions be kept to a minimum. Repeated disturbances are not acceptable at this meeting. And with that, I'll hand you over to Mike, who has come to share his experience, strength and hope with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Tracy.
My name's Mark. I'm a recovered addict.
Hi, Mark.
First of all, you know, the reason I'm wearing a suit and shirt and tie, you know, it's not to make myself look good, it's because that's what I was told to do by my sponsor, you know. It's to show that I'm here, and I mean business, you know, and that business being hopefully someone will hear a message that will save their life tonight. I don't know if there's anybody that's new in the room tonight, but, you know, if there is, this is where I found recovery in 12-step fellowships with DAA, you know. I tell a bit about a past history, what I did to get clean, and what it's like now. You know, from a small child, I always knew there was something wrong with me. You know, my parents would say, grow up, pull your socks up, get your act together. Why can't you be like your pals? And I would say, I don't know. You know, I had a younger brother, it was one too many. You know, I always felt the world owed me a favour, you know. Everything should just click into place the way that I wanted it to. You know, and if that didn't happen, then woe betide anyone who was around me, you know. I made their life misery and hell, you know. And that carried on for many years, you know. I started taking alcohol and drugs at a young age, you know. I had lots of good people around me, tried to give me advice, steer me in the right direction, but I always seemed to think that, thought that I knew what was right for me, you know. At the beginning, I was having fun, and I enjoyed it, but very quickly, it became an obsession, you know. If I didn't have it, or couldn't get it, or couldn't get the means of it, you know, I would make your life misery until I could get what I needed to make myself feel better. You know, my parents took me to counsellors from a young age, doctors, psychiatrists, and they would say, well, what's the matter with you? And again, one answer, I don't know. I could never put my finger on it, but I always felt indifferent, different from everyone else, you know. I felt like a goldfish outside a goldfish bowl looking in. You know, when I used drugs, it changed that, you know, it took that self-centeredness away from me. It enabled me to cope with life on life's terms, which I was never able to do, you know. I see my friends growing up, getting on with life, getting jobs, settling down, getting married, being responsible members of society. I was just totally incapable of it, you know. Tried many times, relationships, jobs. As quick as I got them, as quick as that they went, you know. I was totally incapable of living life on life's terms. You know, I said before, I thought life, every day in life owed me a favour, you know. I blamed everybody else for my shortcomings, you know. It was my parents' fault, my brother's fault, the government's fault, the doctor's fault, everybody but my own, you know. I was given all the warnings from my early age. You'll end up on the streets, you'll end up on hard drugs, you'll end up unemployable, nobody will want to know you. And I would think, what do you know? Ain't going to happen to me, am I? Too strong for that. You know, I thought this indignant Scottish pride that I had would stand me instead, you know. As many of us, or most of us in this room know, you know, before pride comes a fall, you know, and every time, no matter what I did to try and make things right, I always fell deeper and deeper into a worse mess than what I'd been in for previously. You know, I first arrived in a 12-step fellowship 9 years ago. People said, get a sponsor, work the 12 steps, get lots of service, it'll keep you clean. Got a sponsor because everyone else had one. Did lots of service because everyone else was doing it. Didn't work the program, didn't know anything about the program. Went to meetings, spouted a load of rubbish, potentially killing people. You know, after doing that for 18 months, you know, a basic text tells us that an addict without a program will revert to a natural state and has to use drugs, you know, and that's exactly what I did. You know, after 18 months of madness, insanity and misery, you know, people come up to me in my face and saying, oh, you look great, big man, how you doing? And me smiling at him saying, yeah, I'm doing good. But inside, I want to kill him. You know, I hate the world and I hate everyone in it. I didn't want to be in it. I picked up again. You know, at first it was a relief, but, you know, it was short-lived. It brought me to step one rapidly, you know. I didn't have to answer 100-odd questions to know what my step one was. It was a gut feeling. It made me aware that everything I had tried previously over 20-odd years had failed, you know. That my life experience amounted to nothing, you know. Getting clean, getting relationships, getting jobs, changing locations, didn't work, you know. It alerted me to the fact that I was out of all ideas, you know. I'd run out of my own ideas, and I knew how much trouble I was in. I knew I had to follow someone else's thinking, you know. I was brought along to a home group very similar to this one, you know. There was men and women there who spoke with conviction, who spoke with clarity. You know, they weren't spouting war stories. They kept it simple, you know. They said what how addiction had affected them, in the way that they thought, in the way that they felt, you know. And they said what they had done to recover from addiction. And they said, you know, if I wanted what they had, all I had to do was follow in their footsteps. You know, from day one, you know, it was pointed out to me that if I was an addict of their description, I was in serious trouble. The only thing that they knew of that would be able to save me was having a spiritual awakening, having a spiritual defence, because no man-made type or form of defence would do the job. You know, I wasn't a very, very spiritual person when I arrived. I was open-minded because I knew I had to follow someone else's path, you know. They said that if I could believe in the concept of a higher power, they'd give me a cast iron guarantee that I'd recover from addiction. You know, as I said before, I've been a doctor's counsellor, psychiatrist and all these professional people, and I say, can you guarantee me that I'm not going to walk out of that door and pick up again? Oh, I'm sorry, we can't do that. You know, but this strange group of men and women who'd recovered from addiction, you know, by following some simple spiritual program and working 12 steps in their lives, you know, these people had recovered, and they gave me that cast iron guarantee that I could recover as they had. All I had to do was jump in with both feet, you know, throw myself into the program, you know, and that's what I did. You know, I was told from day one, you know, get myself involved in a home group, get a sponsor, stand outside, meet people at the door, greet newcomers, shake their hand, ask them if they want a coffee, guide them towards the literature table. You know, this is what I started doing from day one. You know, I was told that if I wanted to recover as these men and women had come before me, then I had to do what they had done, and this is what they had done. You know, I had to follow in service positions. You know, I didn't think I was capable of doing it. You know, I was sponsored into it. I was shown how to do it exactly the way people had done it before me. You know, nothing that I have done has got me in this where I am today. It's of my own doing, you know. I cut to the point, you know, I came in to a 12-step fellowship, broken, beaten at depth, without a hope, you know. I was out of all ideas and asked someone to help me, and that's what I did, you know. I was told, follow in his footsteps. I did that, you know, I got a sponsor. I allowed myself to be guided through 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, DAA, sorry. Applied these principles in all areas of my life, you know. Got involved in service from day one, you know. I was told at the beginning, you know, I didn't have to understand the steps, I didn't have to be intellectual to work the programme. All I had to do was put the footwork in, and that's exactly what I did. And I got the same recovery as people who came before me did. You know, I recovered from addiction, you know. I continue to work this programme in all the areas of my life, you know. I don't forget where I come from, but today, you know, my life's great. My sponsor says it, you know, I only have great days and brilliant days, and that's because I continue to work the 12 steps of DAA in my life on a daily basis. If there's anyone new in the room, you know, get on board, see the secretary at the end of the evening, and get yourself sponsored and crack on with work, and I'll leave there, thanks.
And now we'll hand you over to Tracy, who has come to share her experience stroking up with us. Thank you.
Thanks. My name's Tracy, I'm an addict. I don't think it was a good idea eating the meat beforehand, but what a privilege it is to be in a home group that's celebrating its 5-year anniversary. It still blows me away that I'm able to maintain recovery. It's come through, like Mark spoke about, through surrender, through being beaten of my own ideas. I'm not a great speaker, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I am, but what I am convinced in and what I have certainty in is that I have recovered from the disease of addiction, and that's what my job is. I'm not here to reiterate to people who you meet week after week. It's for that person who might be sat in this room who was wanting a way out, who was struggling with their emotions, who was struggling with the predicaments that drug addiction brings, and all I can share is my experience, strength and hope, and that's what I'll do. I mean, it's great hindsight, it's great as I look back at my life. I can see I had fear. The first episode of fear I experienced when I went to school, I was absolutely terrified, and from that moment I stopped going. I just didn't go. I mean, I was an addict who started taking drugs at a very early age. I mean, it doesn't matter what drugs I took. It doesn't matter what state I got my life in, because we all know what was important to me and for me as an who came into a room to identify was the emotional and the mental state that I hit when I hit step one. Like I say, hindsight's great. I could see this fee for what it is, but when I look back at 13, 14, I didn't know that I suffered from a disease. I didn't realise where my life would propel and where it would turn out to be. I didn't just suddenly decide, actually, I'm going to become a drug addict and become, the book speaks about the tornado in people's lives. But that's what I turned out to be. I'm chronically self-centred, I'm chronically dishonest, I'm chronically manipulative, I'm like the actor. This book This is what I love. This home group, this fellowship sticks to this. If it's not from this book, then I don't want to know. I don't get bored of reading this book, and it's been a little while now. I still get excited. I still see something from a different perspective when I read this. It's because I've been taught right, because my sponsor does the same, because her sponsor does the same, and that's important to me. We're in a fellowship of making miracles, do you know what I mean? To see someone come in, baffled by their own thinking, to come in and see them within a week, within 2 weeks, getting a glimpse, can start looking people in the eye. Because that wasn't who I was when I walked into this room. I came into this room mentally and emotionally battered, bankrupt. But until I hit that place, there wouldn't have been no surrender. Because I was a great one, wanting to do things my way, self-will. No, I'm all right, I can do it. I've had good, great people in my life. Tracy, why are you doing this? Do it this way. No, I just went on my merry path. And I understood, it speaks about the threefold illness, I understood the twofold, the first two parts, the mental and the physical obsession, my drug of choice. I plenty times went out, no, I'm just going to buy this. But when that compulsion got on me, I would go to any lengths to get it. But what intrigued me when I walked into this home group was when they spoke about the third part, the spiritual sickness, the malady, the irritable, the restless, the discontent. This is my experience. I used drugs for 17 years without having a break unless I was taken out of society. But when I hit that place where I didn't have a drug inside me, that's the uncomfortable bit. That's the bit I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand why I would always retrieve back to that. I couldn't understand why I couldn't cope with my own life. I couldn't... The bedevilment. I'm prey to misery. I'm prey to depression. I'm just praying to everything. That's what I experienced in my step one. And before, like I said, I was unteachable before that happened to me. I came to Plymouth thinking, I'd get a partner, I'd do a geographical and I'd be all right. Certainly wasn't the case. That's, like, thank God that people were armed with the facts. Thank God that there was something with the box, depth and weight. I need something with depth and weight. Because if I don't see some results quick, I won't hang around. I'll get bored of you. You'll do my editing, and I'll move on. I've come in and I've worked with a sponsor, and I remain teachable. I watch my sponsor, like not stalkishly or anything, but I watch how my sponsor acts. My sponsor still has what I want. I still want how she carries herself with content. I need that, and I'm starting to get that today. The biggest thing for me, as I grew up and I took responsibility for my own crap. Do you know what I mean? Because I was a great one. Well, no, if my mother had loved me, if the cat hadn't have died or whatever. Do you know what I mean? But when I hit that step one, I finally realised, actually, this is your own doing, Tracy. Do you know what I mean? And through that came humility, came a bit of willingness. I walked in, I'd been previously in a fellowship. I don't know, I just didn't listen. I wasn't ready. Within a short period of time, I hit that place where loneliness and fear like I've never felt before, and I was 34 when I hit that. I thought, what's happened? Do you know what I mean? And I walked into this home group, this home group, which is now my home group, and someone at the top table spoke about how they felt, how they were just baffled by what happened. Do you know? And I identified, and I knew. I left that meeting with a bit of hope. I left that meeting with the needed to be a new direction, and it was rapid. I came in, I got a sponsor, I got the suggestions, and within a couple of days I started noticing a change. I asked, praying, I didn't know, I didn't have no, it didn't matter what concept, the room was a power greater than myself at that time. I went home and I started praying, felt a little bit funny, but within a couple of days I started to feel okay. And I made that, when my sponsor said, are you willing to go to any lengths to get this? Are you willing to do what I've done? That's my commitment to say yeah. And that's my commitment for her to hold me accountable. My sponsor's job is to get me in touch with a power greater than myself. My sponsor's job is to say, well, if I go to something, no, you need to do it this way. And I have that humility still. Quickly got through the steps. Like 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 is about me. Do you know what I mean? When I seen them list of defects, I was great when I could remember resentments from 20 years ago. Like Stuart says, that I'd be sat in the bath thinking, you. Do you know what I mean? But that got cleared. Is my foundation properly in place? This is step five. My foundation is properly in place. Have I skipped on this cement? No, I haven't. I can't afford to do this. Step six, are these things objectionable to me? It is, because I've seen these in step four. Once I'm set right, once I straight out mentally and emotionally, then I'm able to be of service. 9, 10, and 11, and 12 are the big ones. Do you know what I mean? I haven't done all my amends, but I'm willing to do these. I'm not restored to no sort of sanity until I've fully cleared my path. And I do that by taking inventory at night, by being of service. Says in the book, be cautious, be rigorous around self-centeredness, around fear, around dishonesty. Not yet. be vigorous around these, because I have to be, because it's still about my recovery. It's still about me. I don't want to go out there and make another insane decision. Since I've come in, I've been given life. I've been given freedom. I came and I didn't know what was on offer. Why would I? I just seen these people who were around me, the founder members, my sponsor, could sit with themselves with ease. And I could never do that. I could never do anything productive. I was a failure and full of fear. I was just one of them addicts who was crap, didn't do anything. But since I've come in and done this programme, I've gained peace of mind. I've gained a willingness to be of service to other people. I understand the Ebby speaks about it when he goes to see Bill in the book. It's imperative that we seek other addicts out. If I'm not doing that, then have I got a step one? I have to enlarge my spiritual connection with God. If I'm not doing that, then I ain't got a step one. If I'm not doing my suggestions, if I'm not doing my inventory, if I'm not speaking honestly with my sponsor, if I'm not being an integral part in this fellowship, then for me, this is only my opinion, have I got a true step one? Do I think I'm beaten by this disease? Yeah, I am. Yeah, I just need a drink. I've orange juice today, thank God. These are the things I've always got to. I don't live in fear of my step one, but I remember that state I walked into this home group, and I think that's a healthy place to be in, because I'm not complacent enough to say I've beaten this, because I'm not. I'm still an addict. I still get prideful. I still have a little bit of intolerance, but when I see these, I quickly rectify them. I quickly humble myself to prayer and meditation. When I speak to my sponsor, first thing she'll say, "Have you prayed and meditated?" That's why I know I'm in a place that they stick to this literature. I need to be of service outside the wider fellowship. I need to keep putting one foot in front of the other, because I'm not going to stand still in my recovery. Because if I stand still in my recovery, then it's going to be problematic again. I've learned so much since I've come in here. The simple things, by putting chairs out, by being like, the suggestions say, be of service, put your hand out to someone, put a chair out, have stood me in good stead. Today, I'm able to achieve things that actually blow me away. Do you know, I'm able to go out and not be so scared of the world. Go out, no one knows that I'm a chronic addict who suffers from a fatal malady when I go to university. No one needs to know that. Why should they need to know that? Because God has removed this from me. This, like what Mark said, this ain't my doing. My doing's causing misery, pain to people in their lives and to myself. I've just got to stay on track with this stuff. And when I stay on track, today, I need to have this peace of mind that I've got today. I need to have that conscious contact with God. I can't do that by sitting listening to music. I can't do that by watching TV. I need to shut off. I need to spend. And I need to be disciplined around this. Discipline, responsibility, being consistent, having some humility. These things that were oblivious to me, but coming in, I feel like I've been given my life back, and that is miraculous. And to see someone else come in, who was scared, they don't know what's in front of them, and to see them come in and be able to do a step five, share at the top of the table, that always gives me ghost pimples, because that's what it's about. There's people out there dying. Do you know what I mean? What am I doing to get to these people? That's the important thing. What is my own group doing? Is my own group sticking by the... All the traditions are about being of service, tradition five. Are we being of service? And I can answer yes. That's why I remain in this home group. I'm full of leaders who lead by example. My sponsor does that. And that keeps me on an even keel, mentally and emotionally. And I no longer obsess around using drugs. Never mind all the other miracles. That wasn't on its case. I used drugs chronically for a long time. Today, when I came in with step one, I've never thought about using a drug in a few years now. Not a few, a couple, four. But that's something that I thought my addiction life was the normal one. Today I can differentiate the truth from the false because I've got that power greater than myself, which gives me that God's conscience. But how do I maintain that? I humble myself by practicing, like Andy says, all of the steps and being of service. And when I do that, it's priceless. Nothing, I wouldn't put price on this. Do you know what I mean? It is phenomenal. Why do I all say words I can't speak? Yeah, that one anyway. But I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Could you please keep your shares?